the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Hey, it's the world's greatest podcast. We're here in the summer. We're grinding, people. We want you to be kept up on college basketball. And before we get into anything, I just want to say I don't know what's going to happen with college basketball. I'll ask Seth as we get going. But this edition is going to be, I'm going to call it the race to the G League. Who's leaving college early? Who should stay in the draft? Who should get out of the draft? Are we gonna have a season set? I'm gonna preface this by I don't know. And one of the things I've really gotten tired of is media folks acting as doctors. I don't know. I know this. I just talked to a trainer of a Big Ten university. He told me if you're going to come back to college, the most sterile environment is on campus, in the arena, in the weight room, and in the training room. The problem you have is when kids leave that area and they go out and they interact. So, Seth, I don't know what we're going to have. Do you?
No, I agree with you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not Dr. Fauci. I think when coaches act like, oh, we're going to play football, we're going to play basketball, and they look foolish because they don't know what they don't know. Having said that, I agree with that. Actually, I tweeted that this week. I said the safest place for a student athlete to be is back on campus, where he's going to be in a sterile environment. He's going to have the greatest medical care humanly possible, available to him immediately. It's not like he's going to the emergency room and sitting in a chair and waiting to get called in. I mean, he's going to see the team doctor who's going to walk him right through everything and anything he needs. He's going to have nutrition. He's going to have incredible housing situation. He's going to have a support system in place to help him, God forbid something negative would happen, and a more controlled environment as opposed to maybe being in their home environment. So, I do think being on campus is a good thing. In terms of basketball, who knows? Look, I'm rooting hard for what is it, Moderna and Pfizer and all those people to come up with some type of vaccine. But until that happens, who knows what's going to happen? I have an interesting idea, and I want to throw this by you because you're a football guy. Before we get into the NBA draft, if there wasn't college football as we know it, what do you think if colleges adopted, which would be a much safer sport, a national championship 7-on-7 college football? Eliminate the down lineman, flag football or touch. I don't know how you would do it. Shrink the field in terms of its width. Keep the 100 yards. You talk about entertainment. You talk about creativity. You talk about fun. You talk about something people can gamble on. You talk about having the best skill positions. You talk about now you wear a helmet, face mask, shield, and you're pretty much in a safer environment. What do you think of that idea?
I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a good idea. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think, how am I going to say this? We want football as it is. And one of the reasons we want football as it is because of all the surroundings of football, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I asked on my radio show, and I'm sure you've lived it. Well, I know you've lived this. Hell, you've been at places. One of the only things about going to an Indiana University football game that people really enjoy is the tailgate across the street. You go across the street, Indiana University, man, it's party of the week, and it's adults, it's kids. I think it's a great idea what you're saying. I think anything you can do to get them on the field and lessen the amount of people, I think is fantastic. I just can't imagine Alabama, those places doing it, but I also can't imagine them going without either. You know, what did the mayor of Tuscaloosa say? $2 billion it's going to cost him. So I would file that under that's a great idea and something is better than nothing. To me personally, Seth, that's how I would look at it.
It just would be a safer environment. So now you're not like in the trenches slobbering all over each other. Like, you know, I mean, those guys are so close. Now all of a sudden, you know, you actually have an opportunity to have – receivers wear masks, have a face shield. I mean, just it was just an idea. I was literally walking. I'm thinking, there's no football. I was reading an article while I was walking about no football. There's no football. How could you play football in a more safe environment? At first, I said, could you play arena football? But I think they have the online then. So I said, well, wait a second. Why don't you just go back to old school, 7-on-7? They do it all summer long. It's the most exciting players in football.
Yeah.
It's scoring. It's, you know, and people could get one. So that was just an outside-the-box.
Well, I think all of that makes perfect sense. And I think that, you know, people that say, well, we would never do that because we like our football. Well, we like going outside, too. We like working without masks and, you know, different times, different things. Said, I think it's interesting. I do. I would put it on. I would, again, I'd file it under great idea. Something's better than nothing. And I don't know about going into spring. Here's the other thing. And you said this earlier. Who knows what's going to happen with the vaccine? We don't know. You know, who knows? I've been keeping up on it. Some vaccines are in the second stage. Sorrento has a second stage kind of thing. We talked about Moderna. You talked about Pfizer. They've been downgraded a little bit, a little disappointing result. I don't know. Hell. But I do know this. I know a lot of kids went to the NBA, Seth, and the NBA draft. Who's going? Who's coming back? What do you think? Isaiah Livers just decided to come back, and I think that's a good move for him. Right. I mean, there are certain guys that aren't coming back. Cole Anthony is not coming back. Vernon Carey coming back?
No, he's not coming back. No chance.
No chance.
Here's the thing. Like Luka Garza, if he stays in school, can he improve his draft stock?
No. You know what Luka Garza comes back to school for? As
probably national championship.
And become an all-time legend. You know, player of the year, all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, there are certain guys that aren't. Trey Jones isn't coming back. Tyrese Halliburton not coming back. Okay, let's get rid of those guys, okay? Let's eliminate those kind of guys.
Xavier Tillman?
Well, Dickie V said Xavier Tillman's coming back. Then everybody said Xavier Tillman's not. I personally put Xavier Tillman in the same category as Luka Garza. Not the same career, because Luka Garza, you know, is more of an individual award. But I don't know what Xavier Tillman can do to improve his draft stock. I guess become quicker, maybe a better pick and pop guy. But I again, all right, if you cannot improve your draft stock, is that a reason to come back or is that a reason to go? If you're those two guys specific, Seth.
Here's the deal. Either of those guys, first-round draft choices, are either of those guys surefire NBA guys? And, like, that's the question. Because Europe is not going to be what Europe was. Would you rather play in the G League on a two-way, be a second-round draft choice, or would you rather try to win a national championship at Michigan State and maybe sneak into the first round of next year, or maybe in the first round? Like, Xavier Tillman can defend. He can rebound. He's a very good passer.
Yep.
He doesn't stretch the defense maybe like he needs to with that size.
He's undersized. He's got to shoot it better. But one of the things that has happened, whether it's been kids that I've known, whether it's been kids my son knows, man, when they leave college and they're playing anywhere else other than the NBA, they always like, man, did I have it good in college? Man, was college a better environment for me? Man, did I have more fun in college? So, you know, to me, maybe I place too much emphasis on being happy and not enough on trying to grind out a living at age 22. But, man, that's all I ever hear from people is how much fun they had in college relative to where they're playing professionally. If it's not in the NBA, if you're in the NBA, you got to go to the NBA, man. Right? I mean, that's – come on.
What about a guy like Josh Langford? To me, Josh Langford needs to come back to school.
Josh Langford, 100%.
Aaron Henry. I would assume, like, you're more in tune with him. I would assume can defend in the NBA, right? He's got NBA athleticism. He's got NBA speed, toughness. If he goes, where does he go? 15 to 25?
25
to get in the first round?
Yeah. Kofi Coburn.
I think Kofi Coburn's Kofi Coburn has got to come. He's just scratching the surface. He could be a guy that could be in the G League for 3 years and disappear. No diamonds. He could be Diamond Stone all over again.
Well, that's a great comparison. He could be, because I saw him get better and better and better. And Seth, I think you'd agree with this. We know NBA coaches make you better. There's no question. But you're in a professional league as with five other guys, as opposed to being with a coach in Brad Underwood that needs you more than anything, and you're going to get the best work you can. See, I agree with that. I think Kofi Coburn, after a year, could become a top 10 pick. I also thought Kofi Coburn, if things were normal, if he had the opportunity to go interview and work out for teams, his stock would have risen and risen and risen. But he didn't have that opportunity. So I think if he goes back and plays at a normal progression, I think you can see a top 10 pick. And I think if both of them come back, Bisumu and Coburn, I think you got Illinois. At least I got Illinois in the top 10. I do. I think they're that good.
Tillman and Aaron Henry come back for Michigan State with Rocket Watts. Those three guys good enough to be the focal point?
I don't think there's any question. I think Rocket Watts got really good. They're going to miss Cassius Winston, but, you know, that's the way the world works. You know, you play great, have a great career, and then you move on and somebody else steps up. I thought Rocket Watts got really good, and I'm not sure I've seen anybody, Seth, in the last 2 years improve more in college basketball than Xavier Tillman on both ends of the court. I really don't think I have. He's just been so damn good. All right, Petrusev leaves Gonzaga. What's the impact?
You know, the Timmy kid, I thought he was really good at the end of the season. So, I mean, I think they have a replacement. Now, here's my thing. You know, you look at their team, and everyone's obviously really high in the redshirt freshman Ballo. And that's great. As you know, you've redshirted guys, I've redshirted guys. When guys redshirt, they're always great. They're always great. Right. You know what I mean? Because there's no pressure on them. And the big thing is, how will they deal with pressure? Now, Timmy, I thought Timmy was good. I thought he could finish around the basket. I like Petrusev's game because he had versatility. He could step you out a little bit. He could post you up. He finished around the basket. People are downplaying him. I think they're going to miss him. I think the bigger question is, is he going to come back? Because his name's still in the thing. And like you talking about a guy, good positional size, can really defend, good secondary ball handler, shot it well enough, always seemed to be in a big play. Like, they need him back as much as they needed Petrusev back, though.
I mean, Seth, what's his name?
I love that. Man, Joy, I loved him. That guy, he's a good player. Now, I mean, like, that combination will be interesting. And I'll tell the other guy, I mean, they're still waiting on Corey Kispert.
Right.
I don't see Corey Kispert. Now, I understand he's a good shooter. I'm not sure he's a great shooter. I think he's a good shooter, very good shooter. I think he's tough as hell. I think he can defend. I think he's a really good guy that plays off of people. I see him as a late second round draft choice at best. So, like, to me, or mid to late, why would he go?
Yeah, people, I told you, this is a segment called The Race to the G League, baby. Sometimes the G League looks, who's hurt by this? You know, we talked about transfers and guys being hurt by transfers. Do you even count Kentucky in this in terms of being hurt? Is Gonzaga potentially the most hurt? Is Illinois potentially the most hurt? Is Memphis? LSU's got two guys going. Wofford's going. I mean, pretty good players. I mean, who do you think's potentially
most hurt? I don't think Kentucky's hurt because Kentucky recruits.
Right.
Are they disappointed that, Ashton is leaving? I'm sure they are. They're disappointed that, certain guys are leaving maybe that won't even get drafted.
Right. Is E.J. Montgomery a draft choice?
I don't think he gets drafted. I just don't think E.J. Montgomery gets drafted.
Is Quickly a draft choice?
Yeah, he'll go in the second round because he can make shots, and he's improved so much, and he's a high character kid. I think the guy from Kentucky that's going to make the biggest jump who didn't put his name in the draft is what, the Brooks kid, the kid from Indiana?
You think so?
Well, here's the thing. I look at him and say, Florida game, late game, Cal goes to him, he delivers. So he really realized that, you know what? If I produce, it was me. I got to produce. And if I produce, I'm going to get my opportunities. They're going to have big wings. I just think Kentucky's not impacted by guys leaving.
What about LSU?
I think LSU is impacted by guys leaving early. Now, like Javonte Smart, you know, does he go? I would think, you know, with the uncertainty of what's going on there, I would think, like, there's another thing. You get the LSU. I mean, strong ass offer, no strong ass offer. Something eventually is going to go down at LSU. So, like, if you're a guy that's an if, you think Watford's gone?
I feel like both are gone. I feel like both are gone because of a number of things, one of which the overestimation of themselves. And number two, I really believe the LSU thing probably does affect those guys. I could be wrong. They may not care, but it feels that way to me. Yeah. And I think that really hurts LSU. But I do think the NCAA stuff's going to hurt more. I think it's going to hurt more than whatever these guys decide to do, because LSU is going to be LSU. They're going to play well. Kentucky's going to win the league. Maybe they'll win a game or two in the tournament, but that's all LSU's going to be. And so stay, not stay, probation, not probation, you know, that, to me, that's all they're going to be. Now, I do think Michigan State could be really hurt if Rocket Watts. Is he a draft choice?
No. Rocket Watts is back.
Okay. I'm sorry. Aaron Henry and Tillman, that hurts them big time. I don't think Aaron Henry's a draft choice. I think he's a winner. I think he's a player on the team, but I don't think he's a draft choice. Do you?
No, I think he needs another. I think he will. I think he will get drafted, because I think he'll be a 6'7" next year. He'll be a 6'7" guy.
You think this coming draft, Aaron Henry's a draft choice?
No, not this year. I think he needs another year in college to get drafted.
I agree.
I think he's got to show he can score consistently.
Right.
Like, to me, you've got to be up to make 18 foot jumpers consistently. But he can defend. He can rebound his position. He's tough. He's kind of positionless. He's a winning player. He
improved as well. I mean, Tom Izzo, I think, has done a great job with these three guys. Like, Watts was a little, I don't know, you said positionless. I don't think he really found a spot or a comfort until later on in the year. And once he did, I thought he was really good.
Watts was terrific. And I think that the better he got, the better Cassius at the end of the season, because he had more confidence and took some pressure off him. And they almost, like, played off each other. But Cassius was the king.
What about Memphis? You know, I guess you count Wiseman as leaving early, and that's automatic. But what do you think about them?
They're going to lose Chua. I mean, which they knew they were going to lose. I mean, he's kind of a
right
dude. He's gone. They just, you know, got a commitment from a legitimate front court player. Here's the thing: the bigger question is the timing of it all, because of movement back of the draft. Where does that put the player and the institution? Because like eventually, like, these guys are back on campus now, all right, and they're working out. So I mean, like, you're talking about almost another month before that decision has to be made, right?
Right, right.
How do you go about that? Like, and I know we've had some people at ESPN say, you know, well, the kids should be able to make their decision whenever they want to, whether they're staying or not in these uncertain times. Eventually, there's got to be a cutoff point. I mean, there's always been a cutoff point when you have your name in the draft, when you withdraw from the draft. You know, what is fair to both ends?
Seth, we have billion-dollar institutions. We have billion-dollar budgets. We have a billion-dollar sport. Look, at some point, you got to have rules. Period. And you can say, well, what's fair for the kid? Hey, look, great, great. Bend over backwards, help the kid. But at some point, you got to protect the institution too, Seth. So if guys say they should be able to make a decision wherever they want, is it good for the institution? The answer is no. So don't do it.
So what do you think? What do you think will happen?
In terms of players?
Yeah, in terms of players. In terms of,
I think we got a deadline. I think some people are going to follow the deadline. A couple may not. I think that if those that don't follow the deadline don't get drafted, I think that those guys are going to try some way to get back in college if we have a season.
See, I do think we should, if a kid does not get drafted, I actually believe be able to come back to college.
I agree with that.
And if a scholarship's not available because the coach used a scholarship, then that player should be able to then transfer and be eligible immediately.
I'm cool with that. I'm very cool with that. Yeah, I mean,
August 3rd right now, this is what Division One Men's Basketball Committee decided August 3rd allows reasonable amount of time for all men's basketball student athletes to make a choice about starting a professional career.
Seth, can I just say this? There isn't a serious player out there, not one, that hasn't been told their actual draft status right now, August or July 22nd. There isn't one. Now, what you've said this all the time. Whether they choose to listen to it, that's up to them. All right? But there is not one of these players that's serious, all right, that doesn't know their status. Almost their exact status. And if you choose to stay in, part of me says, if you choose to stay in, kind of on you. Because, Seth, how much time do you need? If somebody tells me, let me back up. I hope the NBA is giving every kid that asks for it information that they need. I hope they're doing that, because what the hell? I mean, you got time here. So part of me is like, man, if you make a bad decision in this, that's on you. The other part of me is like, look, if you don't get drafted, just come on back. Different times, different measures, and I got no problem with both. I really don't.
Well, here's the biggest problem, right? So the players today, because the NBA guys don't have summer league, because the NBA guys don't have combine, plus the NBA don't have individual workouts, they have a lot of free time. So what they're doing is they're calling guys and interviewing guys. And here's the problem, another problem I have with the NBA. So they're going in, and they won't just say flat out, you know what? When a kid asks, you know, where am I at? That's a good question, by the way. When a kid asks, where am I at? No one will say just flat, like, you need to stay, go back to school. They'll all say, well, you know, we like you, you know, you're on our list. Well, that's BS. So what these NBA teams do when they do these interviews, they got to be flat honest with these guys. Because they're just going and doing interviews to do interviews right now. If I'm a personnel guy, if I'm a director of scouting, you know, I mean, like, they're interviewing anyone and everyone to justify that, you know, they're doing their research and their background or whatever else. But they need to be more honest, say, like, you know, son, you need to go back to school because the NBA is not for everyone. And I wish the NBA would be more honest with it, to be honest with it.
Well, I do, too, because there's no reason to tell somebody you're not drafting anything other than, look, I ain't drafting you. And I don't think anybody else. There's no reason not to do that. I mean, all right, people say this is a very weak draft. Is it?
I don't think it's a weak draft. I think it's not as dynamic. I mean, it's the simple thing. How many guys can really make a difference in this year's draft? I mean, well, you just say, oh, my God. I mean, that guy's going to flat make a difference. Like, is Anthony Edwards? I think you've done some of his games. Were you in Hawaii this year?
No, I watched him. I was terrific. So
Anthony Edwards is a physical, strong athlete who can show the ability to score. Doesn't have a great feel for the game. NBA body, had a great game against Michigan State when they were down 100 points. He's a nice prospect. He's a prospect. Tyrese Halliburton, I love him. 6'5", feel to me, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Wiseman, I think he has a chance to be good, young, maybe not as competitive. I mean, there's an if for every single guy you go through the draft. You go through, you know, LaMelo Ball, do you want him in your locker room? Is he a winning player? RJ Hampton, he went over, you know, to Australia. I'm like, he's got a chance. You know, you go through the draft. I think there's depth in this draft, right? I don't think there's anyone that you just go, wow, I mean, this draft's incredible. What's your take?
I feel the exact same way. I feel like in certain ways in the second round, you could get somebody that you'd take almost in the top 15. And you might like them more. I think the one thing that is more important than anything in the NBA, and that's fit. You know, one of the things, the Boston Celtics had this draft last year, and everybody talked about, man, you know, the Williams kid from Tennessee, Langford from Indiana, the little point guard from LSU. Man, it's great. Well, I just didn't do anything because I'm not sure any of them fit the modern NBA game. You know, what's the modern NBA game? Well, you got to be able to shoot it You got to be, you know, I'm thinking about Jaylen Brown on a wing. You got to be uber athletic and a finisher and play really hard. I'm just looking here saying to myself, well, you know, early in the draft, like, it's almost, all right, how much do you fit? Wiseman fits. Wiseman, to me, fits. Edwards, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's shooting
stuff. You feel about him like I feel about him. Like, I think the kid who's good, Killian Hayes, the kid who's played overseas, is very, very good. His dad played at Penn State. You might coach him.
What's his name?
Killian Hayes.
Killian Hayes. Yeah. His dad was, what's the space at Penn State?
Penn State. Very good player.
Very good player. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, like, I like him. Like, people talk about Isaac Okoro being a lottery pick, and I love Isaac Okoro's competitiveness. I think he can defend, but he can't shoot it.
No.
And people say, well, he's a great kid. He'll work at it.
Maybe he's Jaylen Brown. I don't know. But, Seth, I'm just telling you, if you don't fit in that league somewhere, you cannot make it. You know, look. You mentioned this, and I think it's died down some. Well, I think it's died down a lot. LaMelo Ball. I don't pretend to know the European market, but I do know this, and this is where I've had conversations with a couple general managers, assistant general managers this year, and they asked me what I thought of the college crop. I said, you know, this is a great year to find somebody in Europe. I said, because the guys that are playing and coming out right now are so young, and in my opinion, there isn't a, wow, this guy's really mature guy out there. Like, man, he's ready. But I do think in Europe, where you know, we saw it with Doncic and we've seen it with others, you come a little more ready-made. You know, if you had LeBron and Wade and those guys in this draft, that'd be one thing. But in this particular draft, boy, if you don't know the European market, and everywhere else, you know, the overseas market, you're doing yourself a disservice, Seth. I really believe that, because I just don't, you know, Daniel Okoro, the kid at Minnesota, meh, I mean, it's fine. You mentioned Isaac Okoro. He's fine. You know, the kids at Kentucky, you know, Nick Richards, I love him as a kid. But I always go by this. If this guy came to your team, would you be excited about it? The only guy might be Wiseman. To me, I could be wrong, but that's the only guy.
I agree with Wiseman. I think there's just a lot of ifs. I think Tyrese Haliburton's going to transition to the NBA because I think he's got legitimate size feel. He's got to get his shot off a little bit quicker. And that's
got to get stronger. Got to get a little stronger, too.
Stronger. But that's the interesting thing to me about, like, all these guys that have their names in the draft. Will second rounders get guaranteed money, or they just go in the draft to be a second rounder to make money and go into the G League? And will the G League, with everything that's going on, with the season not starting until December, what is the G League going to look like? When are they starting? Are they going to have the medical protocol? Like, I think college basketball plays, they're going to have medical protocol.
Let me throw this out to you. G League starting to unionize, that's fine. But how many guys, well, right now you can't travel to Europe. Right now there's a travel ban for United States into Europe. So how many of those guys that are good enough players that play in Europe are going to say, well, I can't go there, so I'm going to take a spot in the G League?
100%. Two-way deal. There's no doubt about it.
Because those guys, I mean, you've talked about this many times. A lot of guys over there making a couple million. Well, they're better than what, you know, they're potential call-up guys, and they can't go back because of a travel ban. They're not as many spots in the G League and in two-way deals. I can't imagine. Maybe I'm wrong, but common sense tells me there's not.
Well, I know the guys are going back. Like, guys are going back overseas. Like, Malcolm Delaney left to go to Milan the other day. He just left to go back overseas. So, well, I mean, some of these guys, I mean, he's got a quarantine for 2 weeks.
Where's he at?
He went from Baltimore to Milan.
Man, I thought there was a travel ban. I just talked to a good friend of mine, president of a steel company. He's like, yeah, I can't get to our subsidiaries because I can't travel.
Well, that's right. He just posted he landed in Milan. That's
well, good. Well,
but here's the deal, Taylor. Leave this in. the second division in a lot of countries are going to be eliminated just because financially it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
So the opportunities for jobs are not going to be what they were. I just think when we start talking about should guys stay in or stay out, odds are those guys can be late second round draft choices at best, trying to get a two-way, which I think there'll be fewer jobs. And in the end, I think a guy's better to go back and try to play his way into the draft, be part of something, get closer to it. Here's the last thing, and we can close it on this. The best way for society to change is education. And one of these days, we're actually going to stop just trying to have – I understand chasing a dream is one thing, but the biggest change the NCAA needs to make, and you should talk about this on your show, is they should allow coaches to build bridges for players on all sports to meet people and network so that they can then use their position as an athlete to network, do internships, meet people so that when their playing career is over and they graduate, they have a network of people that can build a bridge so they can cross over and have the contacts and the influencers that can open up doors to give them a chance for life after athletics. And I think that's a big mistake the NCAA is making. We talk about, because everyone's worried about alumni involvement, but it should be mandatory that coaches have an opportunity to put their players in internships and put their players and give them access to influential people within the community, alumni, that those players can develop relationships with so that potentially they can open up doors to give them a life after athletics. And that's kind of what it's all about, really. And you can't do that without an education.
And well, I would add to this.
We devalue education. It's incredible.
That's what I was going to say. Our media's got to stop devaluing education. Our basketball media, they all say, well, you get an education, that's fine, but education's pretty important. All right. There we go. We solved the world's problems today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Great, Seth Greenberg, and I will be back again next week. Taylor, you the man. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.